Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Bava Metzia has been dedicated by Rabbi and Mrs. Chaim Shlomo Metz. Le'ilei Nishmas Shmar Yehu Ben Chaim.
Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Beis. The Gemara on Amud Aleph brings down the din of Rabbi Yitzchok. That Rabbi Yitzchok said that how do we know that a Baal Choyv is koina a mashkoin? That says that if you have a lender who's owed money by a borrower, and the lender takes a security, he takes a mashkoin from the borrower, which the Gemara explains is talking about a case of a mashkoin shaloi b'shas halvosoi, which the Achorin explain means that there comes time for the loan to be due. That's how the Achorin explained Rabbi Yitzchok. So it comes time for the loan to be due, and the borrower doesn't have money to pay, or he refuses to pay the money, so the lender takes a mashkoin, a security, in order to assure that he's going to get paid. So that mashkoin, Rabbi Yitzchok says, the lender, the Baal Choyv, has some kind of a kinyan on the mashkoin. He has a certain type of an ownership, a kinyan of the mashkoin, and the raya to this is, because the pasuk says, ulecha tietzdaka, which means that you can return the mashkoin daily or nightly, as the case may be, as the borrower requires it for his daily or nightly usage. So it's going to, it says in the pasuk, ulecha tietzdaka, that's considered to be a tzedakah when you give it on a regular basis back to the borrower for his regular use. Where's the tzedakah if the Baal Choyv doesn't have a kinyan on it? It must be, you have a kinyan, it's called a tzedakah when you give it back. So that's the din of Rabbi Yitzchok, and the Baal Choyv has some sort of a kinyan on the mashkin. As we'll discuss later, this is a machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos over here in the sugya. To what extent the Baal Choyv has a kinyan on this mashkoin. According to Rashi, the Baal Choyv has some sort of a stronger kinyan on the mashkoin, to the point that he's even going to be liable on unsin. Thus, even if an oines occurs to the mashkoin when it's in the reshus of the Baal Choyv. And I would have thought that it's not the Baal Choyv's fault, or his problem was an oines, that in some way the mashkin was asserted in his reshus. Nonetheless, according to Rashi Shita, Baal Choyv kind of mashkin implies that you're kind of stuck with it, you're the Baal Choyv. If it's nenas in your reshus, you're going to lose the ability to collect the loan. According to Taisis, it's not so, and Taisis refutes this idea of Rashi, and Taisis Shita is that the Baal Choyv is only kind of a mashkin to the madrega of Shemesocha, which means that the Baal Choyv is going to be take the loss if a Gnevo or Aveda type of happenstance occurrence happens to the mashkin, but not if an oynas mamash happens to the mashkin. We'll discuss these shitas and mitzvah shem coming up later on. In general terms, like we'll see, basically mavur and the achrayim will discuss some details, but later on, that according to Rashi, the Baal Choyv has some sort of a true kinyan of the mashkin, so that it's konu to him in some manner, and that's why he's chayv an unsim. Whereas according to Tosfos, most achrayim learn, and the Siva speaks this out, that according to Tosfos, the Baal Choyv doesn't have an actual kinyan of the mashkin; he just has a shibud on the mashkin. It's meshubed to him for the purpose of his being able to use this to force the ability to get the loan, to collect the loan, the peroin. And in Meila, it's not a true kinyan. That's why Tosfos holds that the Baal Choyv is not liable on unsim, only has the madrega of shemesachar and chayav agnev haveda. We'll see the details a little bit on that coming up. I wanted to begin, however, by discussing the Tosfos, which happens to be printed on the bottom of Pei Alef Amud Beis on the previous daf. It's the beginning of the sugya, and Tosfos asks Akasha on this din that we have here in the Gemara, that a Baal Choyv is kind of mashkoin, only, the Gemara says, only if it's a mashkoin shaloi b'shas halvos, so, which, as we explained from the Achrayim, means that it came time for the loan to be due, came time to be collected, the borrower either doesn't have the money or refuses to pay. A Baal Choyv takes the mashkoin for that purpose of forcing the payment, and that's the mashkoin, which the Torah is speaking of, that you have a kinyan in that mashkoin. Tosfos kasha on this is from different Gemaras, where it seems that the Gemara utilizes Rabbi Yitzchok's halacha to explain dinim even on a mashkin b'shas havasai, that is, a mashkin you took right from the get-go when you lent the money, you insisted on getting a mashkin at that point in time, and then mashkin, the Gemara says here that Rabbi Yitzchok doesn't give you a kinyan on that. Yet in a couple of places the Gemara's mavur is an afkemina from Rabbi Yitzchok's din even by a mashkin b'shas havo. For example, Tosfos brings the Gemara Masechta Gittin that a malves chaver al hamashkin, which Tosfos medayek from the Gemara that means that you took the mashkin at the time when the loan was being lent, right at the moment of the loan, and yet the Gemara says over there that if you malva on a mashkin, it's eina meshamet. The Shemitah doesn't kick in. Shemitah does not mashamet the loan if Shemitah comes before the loan is collected. And the reason for that is, the Gemara says, because koni leim the Rabbi Yitzchok, because the borrower has some sort of the lender has some sort of a kinyan on that mashkin for Rabbi Yitzchok's din, even though the Chayra is talking about a mashkin b'shas halvo, yet the in some way the mashkin has come to the lender, and therefore the lender, it's not called that he's being yigoy, the loan, that he's demanding the loan, because he already has that mashkin. So it's a steer to our Gemara, where the Gemara seems to say that Yitzchak, Gemara says, this extent only applies to a mashkin, shaloi b'shas havo. Likewise, Taisa brings the Gemara, Masech the Psochim, where it talks about somebody, a yid, that's malva a goy money, and he takes a chomet collateral, a chomet security mashkin from the goy, so that the yid is holding on to the mashkin, and it's talking over there again, Taisa Medayek, that the yid took the mashkin b'shas the havo, and he lent the goy money, he's holding on to the goy's mashkin on Pesach, the goy's chomet mashkin, and the halacha is that the yid is over on the chomet, based on a bit 16, the b'choy is kind of the mashkin. Again, Taisa says it's shver, what happened to the fact that in our Gemara, it's mavur, if Yitzchak's din only applies to a mashkoin shaloi b'shas havo. So Taisa's answers on these kashes are the very cryptic sosom dika teretz. So Taisa says that v'bal, since if the mashkin would have been taken shaloi b'shas havo, it's a true kenyan, and if Yitzchak's din were truly kicking, there would be emesa kenyan on that. So therefore, ahani shibudei b'shas havo leichoshev kishel yisroel. In other words, it's like, since we know that mashkoin, if you had taken it shaloi b'shas havo, you would have a very powerful kenyan on it, like our Gemara says, that therefore, consequently, even if you took the mashkin b'shas havo, so we ratchet it down a little bit, but you still see from Rabbi Yitzchak that you have a strong, powerful shibud on that, even b'shas havo, to the point that mashkin which you took b'shas havo, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, is going to be strong enough that it won't be called a yigois in regard to Hilcha Shmita, so that you have the mashkin already, and it's not Shmita's not Meshamet alone, and likewise, by chometz, he already called it being oivin on chometz, the chometz is called in Yerushua, so the mashkin is chometz. Very, very shver tosis, and the emes says that in Masechta Shavuos the Machamis and the Balamur fight this out, and the Machamis really says the same thing as tosis. The Machamis says that granted the Yitzchak's ikur din of the true Kenyan is a mashkin only if it's shaloi b'shas havo. The mashkin was taken when he wanted to collect, trying to collect the loan. However, Avol Pi Ken, you see from Rabbi Yitzchak that there's some giloi that it's considered b'shusoi, even a mashkin b'shas havo. And the Ramban, the Machamis over there, right away blasts this thing and he says, doesn't make sense. If Rabbi Yitzchak said it to him by mashkin shaloi b'shas havo, where would you see from there any kind of a giloi to any kind of madrega of having some kind of a Kenyan or a shibut on it when you get to the shas havo? And this is the shverkeit on the Balbur. Sverkite on Toysis over here, who says the same idea. Where would these Rishonim see a Gilui in Mitzvah's Din to the case of a Mashkin B'shas Halvo? The Stipler in the Kilis Yankiv in Mesechta Kedushin offers the following teretz to explain these Rishonim. The Stipler brings in a Shach in Choshe Mishpotzim and Ayin Beis. The Shach of Mavur, a basic din really, the Shach says that even a person who takes a Mashkin B'shas Halvo, so the Mitzvah's Din doesn't kick in at that time, nonetheless, says the Shach, what happens if it comes the shaloi b'shas havo, which means in practical terms it comes the shas to collect the choiv, and now you want to collect the choiv and the borrower doesn't have the money to pay or he's refusing to pay, and you want to hold on to that same mashkin that you've been holding on to till now because it was a mashkin b'shas havo, you know, hold on to that same mashkin and continue to hold it, and now you're going to get a very strong kenyan on that, says the shach, because now it morphs into a mashkin shaloi b'shas havo, and the shach says that that's going to be the halacha. In other words, that even the mashkin was taken b'shas havo, it did not have the powerful Yitzchak kinyan on it. However, if later on you hold on to it for the purpose of getting a collection out of that mashkin, when it comes time to the shaloi b'shas havo, and you hold on, and you're not getting paid, so you know you want to get paid by means of holding on to that mashkin, so the shach says it morphs into a Yitzchak's mashkin, which you have a kinyan on. The stipler takes this shach, and he takes it a step further, and the stipler is masbir that the underlying idea that's behind this shach, like the stipler, is that when a person takes a mashkin, even he takes a b'shas havo, and in mele, when he takes a b'shas havo, it's not being held onto for the purpose of gvir, like we'll talk about a little bit later, it doesn't have the powerful kinyan of a b'yitzchok, the mashkin with b'shas havo. Aval pi kein, zok the stipler, the kavana, the idea behind this shach is that even the mashkin take a b'shas havo, there's already a shibud that's chal. There is a kind of a schus that the malva has in that mashkin, that when the time comes, and it comes shas piro, and if he doesn't get paid up, he'll be able to seize that mashkin, which is already already b'shusoy and get a kinyan in it to hold on to for the purpose of gvia. Thus haste, zok the stipler, that the idea behind this shach is not just that I take a mashke m'shas halvo, so when it comes time for the gvia, I happen to have it in my rishus, so I happen to continue to hold on to it, and now I get a powerful kinyan. Names of the stipler. The richtige correct understanding is that even a mashke m'shas halvo, even though you don't have a kinyan on it, it's already m'shubah to you. You already have a schus in it, a right in it, to be able that when the time comes, I'll be able to seize it and get a kinyan in it for the purpose of forcing the gvir. That's the pshat behind the shach, zok the stipler. He says, and once you say that, you can already understand the deeper idea behind the kavan of Toysis and the balamoy here. Why? Zok the stipler. Because the pshat is that even a mashkin b'shas halvor, since that mashkin, when it comes time for the gvir, and if you don't get paid up at that time, you'll be able to continue to hold on to it, and at that point it would morph into a mashkin that you have a kinyan on. The meila zok the stipler. So the pshat, what Toysis is saying over here is that vibalt that it sucks in. If it turns into a shas gevia, a shloi b'shas halvor de gemashkin, at that point it will morph into a mashkin I have a kinyan on. So already from now I have a shibbet on that it can morph into a kinyan de gemashkin, a mashkin I have a kinyan in later on. That's what Taisa is saying, that therefore even the mashkin b'shas halvor according to Yitzchok is in your rishus to the point that you'll be considered to be over on chometz on Pesach. It's in your rishus to the point that you're considered to have a tfisa in the choiv itself, and therefore there's no yigois of the God Hilcha Shemitah, and the Shvius won't kick in and take away the loan, Mivatal the loan, because you already have a Toyfes, a Mashkin on that loan. Zok the stipler, the Kavan of Toyfes is because this Mashkin B'Shas Havor itself could morph into a Mashkin Shle B'Shas Havor if later on it comes time for collection and you don't get paid. So therefore that's a schus, it's a shibbet you haven't already now, and that was what Toyfes meant to bring out. That since this mashkin could become, this itself could become a shloi b'shas halvor de gemashkin later on, so already you have a schos and a shibud in it for that effect that it should later on be able to turn into a mashkin shloi b'shas halvor, and that schos you have in it is enough that you're over on chometz of Pesach and it won't be mishamed alone. However, the stipler fears always that although he thinks this works well to explain the shittos balamur, he doesn't think that it doesn't necessarily work so well in Toysis, even though Toysis and balamur are the same fundamental shita. Why? So that because, like we'll talk about a little later, the fact is, Zokte, that we have this big, big machloikis between Rashi and Tosis in the Sugya and the extent of Yitzchak's din. And Rashi held, and the Balmor holds the same way, says the stipler points to Balmor and Shuas actually says, Balmor actually says the same thing, that the Balmor says that a Baal Choyv is kind of a mashkin when the Mitzvah's din kicks in and you get a kinyan in the mashkin, it's a true kinyan to the point that you'd be chayv even on unsin, like we'll see later, which means that it means that you really are kind of it, you have an actual kinyan in it, lugavayna, even though the loiva, the borrower, has the ability to pay off and take back the mashkin. There's mavur in some achroinim that even though it's exeris akosa, there is a special din that he has at schus to pay off and take back the mashkin. Nonetheless, kolzman he didn't pay you off, there's an actual kinyan to have the mashkin lugavayna, and that's actually why Rashi holds that you have an unsin, because it's actually konu to you, like we'll talk about a little later. And meila in the shitas Rashi and the balamor have to hold that way as well. It works out and it makes sense, like the stipler to say this cheshbin that later on, if it comes to shaskaviyah, the time to collect, and I can't collect because he doesn't have money or he's not paying me. So this mashkin itself is going to become the collection. It's going to become the gevira, and it'll be greater with the mashkin itself. And in Mela now, I already have a shibud in the mashkin already now, but shas talvo, a shibud in it to be able to turn later on into an actual kinyan. That works well in the Valamir, who taka holds like Rashi, that if you don't when it comes to the gvia, come time for the gvia, he doesn't come through, he doesn't pay, so your kinyan in that mashkin is an actual gvia, and you have an unsim. Mashing in Toysa Shita later on in the sugi over here in Bamatsia is what? That Ibitzak's din, the Balchayv kind of mashkin, is only that you only have a din like a Shemesachar on it, which as we'll see a little bit, it's Mavur and Achroin and Asivis and others, that the Pshadin that is, that it's really just a Shibut that you have in that mashkin to collect. But it's not that you actually collected in that mashkin in some way, the mashkin constitutes a collection of the choiv, because that would be the case, you'd be chayv in an onsin, because you already collected the choiv. So therefore, Taisha Shita, you see, is that even when it comes, the Bishas didn't kick in, it comes to fruition, when it comes to the Shas Gevira, and at that moment, at that point, Rabbi Yitzchak's din kicks in, and even then it's only a shibbut to collect a loan from it. And then, since you have a powerful schos in it, you're like a shemesachar on it, but nothing more, because it doesn't actually embody an actual gevir. So according to Taisa Shita, it doesn't really make sense. sense logically, Dr. Stabler, to say that early on I already have a shibud in it, because later on, when it comes time, I'm going to what? When it comes time to collect the choiv, and he's not giving me the choiv, I'm not going to be collecting it automatically, according to Tosef Shad of Yitzchak. I'm just going to be getting a shibud in it then. That means, in other words, right now I don't have any true shibud in it, so that when I take the mashkin b'shas to halvor, I don't have any true shibud. Later on, I'll get a shibud in it, and that will be the embodiment of Rabbi Yitzchak's din, when I get the shibud to collect later on. So, come to choy, the stapler, that he feels that this pshat that he's saying does not work out well in Taisis. It works out well in the Balamir. In other words, it only works out in those who say that shpeter, later on, it can morph into an actual kinyan, because I'm being goyve with the mashkin. But now, I already have a shibud in it to be able to get the kinyan later. But Taisis holds that even later I'm only going to get a shibud, so therefore it doesn't seem logical that according to Taisis I have any kind of shibud in it already now. And the stapler blinds with somewhat of a tzorachin in Taisis. How does Taisis going to work this out? Why did Taisis have the right to say that if later it could turn into a shas, a shalevish shas of the mashkin, a powerful what? A powerful shibud of the mashkin? Why did Taisis have a right to say that that's a megala, that it already has some sort of a shibud of the mashkin already now, the gabe being over on chometz, and etc.? And that point is typed by tzorachin on the Taisis. Now, we alluded a couple of times to the big machloikus Rashi and Taisis in the sugi over here. What the extent of the kinyan that the balchoyev has in the mashkin? The Gemara says the balchoyev is kind of the mashkin. The Rashi Shita and the Balamo holds that way as well, is that they hold the Balamo as kind of the mashkin legabe, that even if an oines transpires to that mashkin, the malva is going to lose the money, because he already has the mashkin, and anything happens to it is his problem. Mashenkin Toysis holds that the Balchoyev kind of mashkin is really pashtus, just an expression. He doesn't have a true kinyan in it, and he just has a strong shibut, which makes him like a shemesachar on the mashkin. Now, the Ramban in the Mechamis asks a kasha on this Shita of the Balamo and Rashi, that they hold that the Balchoyev has a kinyan of the mashkin, he's chayiv even an unsim. The Ramban, the Muhammad understood what these Rishonim mean is that the Balchoyev has a very strong right of the mashkin, which makes him equivalent to a shoyel. And therefore, just like a shoyel is chayiv an unsim, so therefore, a shoyel is a borrower and his kolon oshaloy, the Gemara says later in Bamatzia, he gets all kinds of benefit, the benefit is all his, and therefore a borrower is chayiv even an unsim. The Ramban, the Chamas understood that what Balamur is saying and presumably Rashi is saying is that the Balchoyev kind of mashkin gives him a schos like a shoyl. The Ramban, in other words, understood the pshitos that the Gemara, that the Rishonim are not saying that the mashkin is already somehow collected. It's not much collected, and the raya to that is that we know that if the borrower wants to pay money and take back the mashkin, he has every right to do so. So the pashtus, that's a giloy that the mashkin is not much belonging in any true sense of belonging. It doesn't belong to the malva. So the Ramban understood that these Rishonim are saying is that the Balchoyev's right of the mashkin is equivalent to a shoyel. And that the Ramban is mispalei harbe, he says it's a tmiya, it doesn't make any sense, because the fact is, Dr. Ramban, that it's not kolonos shaloy at all. Why would anybody think that he's equivalent of a shoyel? In fact, bistomo, the default type of scenario, as Ramban points out, is that the malva is not even allowed to utilize the mashkin, he has no schus hashtamshus on it. Sometimes he can make a deal and give him a schus to use it, but bederach klal, the default is that the malva can't even use the mashkin at all. So where in the world would I say that the mashkin is equivalent to the malva is like a shoyel on this mashkin and chayav on unsim? The Ramban says it doesn't make sense, and why would the malva be chayav on unsim on the mashkin? However, the achroinim, and this actually is really the same word, kamat, is found in the Dibris Moshe and the Stipler. They both say almost the same word. We'll talk a little. It seems to be that there's two slightly different explanations in the achroinim for this idea that the balchoyev kana mashkin, according to Rashi Udimei, means even on unsim. The shita of the Dibris Moshe, Moshe Feinstein over here, in a lengthy shir ba'arichus, and also the Kilos Yankiv, that they both learn that the hezber in Rashi the Ime is that Be'emes is the Balchoyev is kind of the mashkin, meaning that when it comes time to get paid and the borrower is not paying you up and you take the mashkin, if you're taking it at that point, that's a gilu, you're taking it liguvina. In other words, what they speak at is if you're taking the mashkin b'shas halvo, so that mashkin is not being taken liguvina, it's just being taken as a zikoroin to the choyev to make it absolutely clear that there is a choyev. So nobody should forget that there's a choyev. He wanted to be boy late, I took a mashkin from him, I took a security from him, and now it's absolutely clear that there is a choyev. That's the current vorm. Masha ain kain is the mashkin is taken. Shaloi b'shas halvo, which means that it's taken when it comes time to collect the loan and it's not being collected. You don't have the money or whatever. So therefore, I take the mashkin. Then it's being taken to force a gviya. It's being taken to coerce you to pay me up. To force a gviya. And what they say, the shitas Rashi is the stipler of Moshe, that the Shitas Rashi is that in such a case, you actually are kind of the mashkin, in other words, that you actually collect that mashkin, it becomes the Gviyas HaChoyev. However, there's a big however. The however is that the Torah is saying that there is, it's like a Gviyah Al Tanai. In the event that the borrower he says he's going to come through with the money, and he comes through with the money in a timely fashion, so then the borrower has a schus to take it back from you. You took already a Gviyas HaChoyev, you already collected the Choyev, so to speak, because the mashkin is the collection of the Choyev, and it's the payment. That's the actual payment, but with a stipulation, but from the Torah, that the Torah stipulated that within a timely fashion, the borrower is able to take back that payment of the choiv, and he could pay it up with money and take back his object. So that's really a tnai in the gviyah, but nonetheless, if he doesn't make use of that tnai, and he doesn't pay you, so the mashkin itself would be considered to be an actual payment of the choiv, and already is a payment from now, from the time when you take it, from the time when you collect it. And Mela, that's why you're liable on onsen, not because of any kind of a concept of a shoyl at all. You're not a shoyl, you're not a borrower. Rather, you're liable on onsen because you collected the choiv. If anything happens to it from this point, it's your problem because it's your thing that you collected. Even though you collected the choiv, there's a special gviyas hakosav that within these circumstances, the borrower has the right to take it back from you against your will and to pay you up money and take back the mashkin. And Rav Moshe says that this was the Das Chazal, the way Rashi learns it, and understand the pasuk of Lachoti at Stoka, because the Gemara is tainting that you would not call it Stoka if it wouldn't be that you have an actual ownership. It's like a tznaka. I give tznaka. Giving tznaka means you own money and you're giving the money to the pauper. Over here, you have an actual kin of the mashkin and you're giving it back on a daily basis. You can use it on a daily basis as required. It's called tznaka because you mamash have an ownership in it. And this is the shita of Rashi, as explained by Rav Moshe and also by the Kos Yangiv. Rav Chaim Brisker is quoted, widely quoted, in a way that's slightly different from this. There is a slightly different explanation of Rashi, which is given in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker in the Sefer Yoinas Elam from Reb Yoina Karpilov. Reb Yoina Karpilov was one of the greatest of the Talmidim of the pre-war European yeshivas, and he was nifter, Loyalenu, in the war, and after the war they assembled his ksavim and they put it together in the Sefer Yoinas Elam. The Yoinas Elam brings down the actual Yiddish expression that Reb Chaim said to explain this, and it's widely quoted all the time in the yeshivas in the original Yiddish. Reb Chaim said, in their mashkoin licked their choiv. That's the actual Yiddish. In their mashkoin licked their choiv. And the Yoinas Elam explains somewhat concisely what Reb Chaim meant with this expression. Reb Chaim meant to say, as opposed to what the Ramban understood in the Das Rashi and the Rishonim, which is that you're a shoyel on the mashkin, and that's what you have an onsim, and that clearly cannot be, as the Ramban himself points out, but there are clearly you don't even have a schus shimush, so you're supposed to utilize the mashkin, so you're not a shoyel. However, what Reb Chaim understood the Rashi to be saying was that when a person takes a mashkin, shaloi b'shas halvo, which is to say at the time of the gviya, so he takes the mashkin leguvaina for the purpose of using it to collect the choiv, so that mashkin becomes the actual handle on the choiv. It's as if the choiv, which is an abstraction, obviously, it's an abstract concept, an obligation of money that's coming to me, and that choiv, an actual physical handle which I could use to grab hold of and yank and force to get a gviya out of it. And that handle is the mashkoin. In their mashkoin, lick their choiv. So it seems that Reb Chaim did not go so far as the stipler, as Reb Moshe Feinstein. They learned that the mashkin is an actual collection, so that when you take the mashkin, you've collected the choiv, but there's a special din ha-toyrah that you have to give back the collection in the event that the loiva chooses to pay it back with cash, which happens to be somewhat of an awkwardness and somewhat of a dochek, perhaps. In other words, that you collected the choiv, and nonetheless, you're going to have to give it back if he decides to pay cash. Reb Chaim understood the choiv is not collected yet. However, the mashkin is the embodiment of the handle on the choiv that is going to serve as the tool by which you're going to collect the choiv from here on and in. And if for some reason you don't have the mashkin, it's going to be impossible to collect the choiv. The mashkin is the tool, by which you're going to be collecting that choiv. And Mela, in the event that you lose that mashkin in any manner, even in the oinus, a tornado came and took it, whatever it is, afal pikein, if I don't have the koyach hagviya on the choiv, I don't have the mashkin, the handle on that choiv, the choiv is now going to be lost to me. And that's the pshat in the Rashi, where Rashi held that the mashkin, the bal choiv's koyach on the mashkin is such that even onsim is responsible, which means to say that the mashkin becomes the handle by which, and the sole manner by which he's going to be collecting the choiv henceforth. So if the mashkin gets lost, even ba'ayinis, no longer does the bal choiv have any ability anymore to be able to collect that choiv. On the bottom of the Omud, the Gemara brings down a Machloikis Rabba and a Biyosef by a Shomer Aveda. The person's holding on to the Aveda, and he lost item, and he's working, being metapel on a regular basis with the lost item, airing it out, and etc., as the needs arise. And Rabbi Yosef's shita is that a Shemer Aveda is considered to have the Madrega of a Shemer Socha, which means he's liable even on the Madrega of Gneva Aveda if something happens to the lost item. Rabbo holds he's only liable like a Shemer Chinam. Rabbi Yosef holds he's liable like a Shemer Socha because he's nene with what's called Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. Because at that moment when he's airing out the Aveda or caring for its needs, if an Oni shows up at the door, he's going to be Oisek and Mitzvah Potter and a Mitzvah, and he's going to be Potter from giving the Pruta to the Oni. So therefore, that's considered a monetary gain, according to Abiyasa's understanding, and that's why you are considered a Shomer Sachar, because you're gaining a monetary gain from watching the Shomer Aveda. The Gemara says, in one side, that the same exact thing is also true by Malval HaMashkoin, and in other words, if a person is Malva with a Mashkin, Mashkin is, let's say, B'shas Halvah, so you don't have a Yitzchak Halacha, but Afal Pikein, according to one side of the Gemara, according to one opinion of the Gemara, we have that the Malva still gets the Madrega of a Shemes Sachar, if you hold like Rabbi Yosef. Why? Because the Malva, to be Malva with the Mashkin, is considered to be a Mitzvah, and therefore that tipple with that Mitzvah, that Mashkin, is a mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah to lend money to people, and the tipple with the mashkin is part and parcel of that. So therefore, you'll be potter from Pruta de Rabbi Yosef, if only shows up at the door at that moment, and consequently, you'll be shemes sachar on the mashkin. The Gemara explains that this is not muskim l'kuli alma, it's a machlekes tanoim, in a scenario in which the malva is sorach l'mashkin, in a case in which the malva is actually going to be utilizing the mashkin, getting shemesh out of it, and deducting from the choiv, because in such a case, the malva actually needed the mashkin, malva sorach l'mashkin, and perhaps he wouldn't call it a mitzvah, because the reason for the loan was to get the usage out of the mashkin. Hakoponim, this is the svara of Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. Tosis asks a question on the top Tosis on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. The Tosis is medayik from the way Rashi learns the sugya, that the way Rashi understands the sugya, this whole svara that a maval hamashkin is considered to be that there's a mitzvah involvement in the asek with the mashkin, and therefore you're part of Pruta de Rabbi Yosef, you can mashkin asacha, that's only applicable when the mashkin is worth the entire value of the choiv. Shavi mashkin shir zuzi. However, if the mashkin is not worth the entire value of the choiv. So then, like Rashi's Loshin is, the mashkin was taken the zichron dvorim ba'alma, just as a reminder ba'alma. You're not going to use the mashkin to fully collect the choiv, because it's not worth the whole value of the choiv. So it's just a reminder ba'alma, and in such a case, Rashi understood that everybody would say that you don't have the madrega of a shemes sachar on that, and you don't get the din of oisek and mitzvah, potter and a mitzvah, and apparently you won't be called a Shemes Sachar at all on that mashkin, which isn't worth the value of the choyv. It doesn't make any sense. The choyv, it's the keneged svara, because whatever it is, the fact is the guy is doing a big mitzvah, he's lending money, and if you, to the extent that you're not demanding an expensive mashkin, only demanding a cheaper mashkin, so that's even bigger mitzvah, Taisis. So now you're a greater Baal mitzvah, because you didn't demand an expensive mashkin out of him. So certainly, the moment when he's involved in the tipple and taking care of the mashkin, he should be part of him giving Pruta Yosef. If what in the world is the svara where Rashi should hold that a malva doesn't have the full value of the choiv, that mashkin doesn't give you a dinner of shemes sachar at all, and apparently it's not called an asik in a mitzvah, and you're not potter Pruta de Yosef. What's the pshat in Rashi? The Yosemeach comes to say a hezber, an explanation is that Rashi. The Yosemeach points out that be'emes is okter, that when I'm lending money to you and I'm taking the mashkin from you, the choiv of the mitzvah is lending money to you. Taking the mashkin from you is not in and of itself a mitzvah. Why should that be a mitzvah? If anything, I'll just lend the money and not take the mashkin. So why do we see a soid throughout the sugi over here that when I lend money to you and I take a mashkin, that somehow the mashkin itself contains the embodiment of the mitzvah, and to the extent that I'm working on that mashkin, I'm going to be potter from Pruta de Rabbi Yosef because I'm oisik a mitzvah. Why? Is the oisik and the mashkin a mitzvah, or is just the lending a mitzvah? So then zokt the Urs HaMeach as follows. He says, it depends, it's like this. If you're talking about a person, zokt the Urs HaMeach, that very, very reasonably really does not want to lend out money without having some sort of ability to collect from it, which actually makes sense, you know, l'chayr. I want to be able to collect, I want to be able to be assured that I'm going to get my payment. So in such a case, the Torah is not going to mechayev a person person, even though a person's supposed to have to mitzvah to lend money, but I don't have to lend money without taking a mashkin, because why should I lend out my money in such manner that make myself totally meshugal later on and not be certain I'll be able to collect? The Torah is not mechayev that. That's what the Torah really says. Be'emez, Zokter Sameach, the Loshin, Kivaseach, Tiftach, Ezeot, Choloim, Vahaveit Ta'avitenu, De Machsoria, Sheyechsoloi. Haveit Ta'avitenu is a Loshin of an avoid, the Loshin of taking a mashkin. In other words, rather remarkably and very interestingly, when the Torah speaks of lending money to a poor person, it speaks specifically of lending it with a mashkin. Pesach, Tiftach, etc. Havei Tavitenu De Machsoire Asheyach Salai. Do it with a mashkin. What does it mean, do it with a mashkin? Not Mechuyev do it with a mashkin, obviously, but the Torah itself reassures you there's no shum din that you have to lend money without taking a mashkin, because you want to be assured you'll get your money. So, take the money, lend the money, and take the mashkin. So, to the extent that a person has taken the mashkin in order to afsher the lending, because he, without the lending, he doesn't feel secure, without the mashkin, he doesn't feel secure, and not Mechuyev to lend out the money without a mashkin and not feel secure. So therefore, the mashkin is the ma'afsher of it's what makes possible the loan itself, and the Torah itself considers the mashkin to be a chelik of the mitzvah. V'haveit tavitenu, it should be ma'aveit, to lend out the money with a mashkin. Mashain kein zokter esameh. If you're talking about somebody who bemes does feel secure, he doesn't really need the mashkin in order to feel reassured that he'll to collect the money. It just happens to me that he wants the mashkin anyway to get to be a sort of reminder, a zichron varim bialma. That person's up there, Sameach, since he doesn't have that daiga, he doesn't have that concern that he's not going to get paid back without a mashkin, he has a mitzvah to lend the money even without a mashkin. So Zoktav Tim Sameach like this. If the person has a mashkin which is shovashir zuzi, the mashkin is worth the entire value of the choiv, so the presumption is that that person took the mashkin to be reassured that it'll have a collection ability when it comes time to collect. And the Torah itself is perfectly fine with that. The Torah speaks of Havei Tavi Tenu. The mashkin becomes a chelik of the mitzvah itself, and your asik in the mashkin is an asik and the enabler of the mitzvah itself, because the mashkin is a chelik of the mitzvah. Take a mashkin and lend the money. You're not mechuyev to lend the money without taking the mashkin. So there, the mashkin contains the embodiment of the mitzvah of the halvor. Mashkin loy shavi shir zuzi. And that, like Rashi says, the Rishonim say is taken lezichron varim bialma, because over there, if I really felt that I needed a mashkin which is going to reassure me that I'm going to get paid, I would have been machba to take a mashkin at shavi shir zuzi. So I have the mashkin that's worth the entire value of the choyev. It must be that I don't have any lack of reassurance. I don't have a lack of assurance on that matter. I'm not concerned. I'm going to get paid. Elamai, I want a zichron varim bialma. In such a case, the person has mitzvah to lend the money without even taking a mashkin, and the mashkin that you did take, which is a zichron varim, doesn't have any shaychus to the actual mitzvah. It's not a component of the actual mitzvah. It's independent of the mitzvah. You just took it to be able to have a zichron varim, a reminder that you're going to get paid up, to remind the guy that the loan out there. So therefore, that's what the Eretz Amech says. That's pshat in the Rashi. A mashkin that is loy shavi shir zuzi. Over there, the asik in the mashkin is not an asik in the mitzvah, because over there, the mashkin itself is not a component of the mitzvah. The mashkin, which is shavi shir zuzi, which is taken for the purpose of being assuring an eventual govaina to eventually collect. So there, the Torah itself says that the mitzvah itself is take the mashkin and give the money, and therefore the asik in the mashkin is an asik in the mitzvah. In another shtickel or Sameach, this one in Hilchos Yontif, the Sameach discusses another big issue with the sugi here, which is discussed by a number of Achroinim. It seems that the first Achron that they bring that asks this question is the Beis Yankif from the author of the Nesivis and Masechta Ksubis. So the Achroinim asks the following kasha. We know that the Gemara says over here that a person who is watching over an Aveda, taking care of the Aveda, metapa with it, or he's watching over a Milvala Mashkin and he's taking care of the Mashkin. So in these cases, the Gemara says that if an Oni will come to the door, you're going to be potter from giving the Oni a tzedaka, a pruta, because of Oisek and Mitzvah, Panam and Potter Mitzvah, that's the rule, the klal, a person with Oisek and one Mitzvah, Potter holding a different Mitzvah, and therefore that's considered to be a gain. The fact of then, the Achroin, and Lachar, the din should not be true. Why? Because we know that the Mitzvah of tzedaka is not just an Aseh, but also a lois asay, right? The Tosik speaks, and the Pois can speak about this idea from the Pasik. Lois ame says yodcham, so it speaks actually of a law and an assay that you have to give him, and it also says lois ame, it says levalcha lois sikpois es yodcha, so that's lois ame, lois sikpois, don't hold yourself back. don't close your hand and refuse to give. So therefore, the loisa say as well. Now we know that the din of loisa mitzvah, pata mitzvah, only applies to assays and doesn't apply to lavin. The marshal, just because I'm involved in the mitzvah, certainly doesn't give me the right to violate various types of lavin while I'm involved in the mitzvah. Of course not. You just pater from doing another mitzvah while I'm involved in this mitzvah. The marshal learns that pasuk and sukkah and other places that oisik in one mitzvah is pata from the other. So over here, since stucka has a loisa say associated with it as well, for ektabes yankiv and other achorinim, why is the person pata from giving the onim when he comes to the door, and the eisik and mitzvah in the aved or the like is not going to pati from a lav of holding it and giving stock. This is the big kasha of the Beis Yankiv and others. There are a couple of mahalchim in the Achorinim that answer this. There are Sameach and Ilchas Yontif answer this kasha on the basis of a Ramban, which is brought down in the Ritva in Masechta Kedushin. Now over there, the Gemara has a sugi over there. It speaks about certain mitzvah say that Noshim are chayovois. We know that say was mangroma, generally speaking, Noshim of turois, but there are various assays in Noshim achayavin, and the Gemara lists among the assays that they're chayav because they're loyos mangroma. The Gemara specifically lists makeh, which is a mitzvah to place a fence around your roof, etc. It shouldn't be dangerous. That's a mitzvah to build a mica. Aveda to return a lost object, and shiloh hakein, which is to chase away the mother bird trying to taking away the eggs or the chicks, etc. So those are assays that are loyos mangroma, and therefore the isha is chayav. And frank to be shining over there, what does the Gemara have to say that the isha is chayav because of the fact that it's an assay? Even if to be potter al assay, each and every single one of these has a loyos assay that's associated with it. By Micah, is a mitzvah, a sikh, a makah, a gagecha, a mitzvah assay. There's also a loyos assay. Loyos, sonsen, dom, vesecha, don't have a danger in your house. But Shiloh HaKain, it says, loyos, sikochayim, alabonim, shalech, the shalach, asayim, don't take the mother, rather send it away. Aveda, it says you should give it back, but also says, loyosucha, lehesalayim, right? Don't withhold. So therefore, each of these has a loyos assay anyway, and that's the Rishonim's kasha. Why did the Gemara have to make a big issue that the isha, the lady, is chayav? Because the assay is not as mangroma. Typically, should be chayav anywhere else, the lois assay. So on this, the Dvor brings down the big issue from the Ramban. This is the shita of the Ramban. There's different truths to this kasha. And the Ramban's shita is that in each of these cases, the lois assay alone would not be sufficient to chayav the lady, because the function of the lois assay is simply to support and to brace up the assay. In other words, in each of these cases, the real tzivor in the Torah is to do the assay, and in order to support and give strength and chizuk to the assay, the Torah says, and don't fail to do that assay, and that's the kavan of the lois assay in each of these cases. Return the aveda, don't fail. Loisucha le'saleh. The same with the others. The idea of the lois assay in each case is don't fail to do the assay, and therefore we have to determine, says the Ramban, whether the isha is chayav on the assay. Great, since she is chayav on the assay because it's not zman groma, therefore she's also mitzvah in the lab. But lo yitzur that the lady would have been put from the assay, she and put them on the lav as well, because the lav is just there to support the assay. That's the Ramban. It's the doctor of them, the Yisameh, and who are they over here? Since the whole function of the lav, by the doctor, according to Ramban Shita, is just mechazek the assay. The Ramban says it on those, but according to his shita, it makes sense to say by tzedakah also loisik poitz loisamit means don't refrain and hold yourself back from doing that tremendous mitzvah of tzedakah. Do the mitzvah, don't refrain. Loisik poitz. It's really giving chizuk and koyach to the assay, which is the primary. It's zokt of them the ursamir, and mele therefore the word is correct over here. If a person has a ptur on the assay because of the fact that he's oisik a mitzvah of involvement with the aveda or the like, and therefore he's part of the assay of tzedakah, since he's part of the assay, the mele, he does a lois assay doesn't kick in either, because the whole function of lois assay is simply to brace up and support the assay. Since over here he's a mitzvah part of the assay, the mele, the lav doesn't come in either. And this is how the Yosemech wants to explain why the Gemara patters the oisik and the aved and the like from Pruta de Yosef, even though l'chayra Pruta de Yosef has a lav. Now the Kavitz Shiur and Rechon of Vassarman has really a shtickle in Masechta Baba Basra, in which he's mechaven to the same teretz as the Yosemech. He says it on his own, but he adds that really this teretz is not so posh. He says it really depends on the gether of oisim mitzvah mitzvah. If the pshat in oisim mitzvah mitzvah is that yitaka mamish din ptur or not. In other words, there are paiskim that hold that oisim mitzvah is mamish potur legamri from the other mitzvah. And for example, with the shtel tzachoyt, by the way, in hilchos tefillah, that there are some shitas that hold. This is the sheet of the drisha brought in by the taz and sin and kufches, that if a person's oisim mitzvah, the time to davening comes up and he doesn't daven because he's also in the other mitzvah, so later on he doesn't have to daven at all to shlumin. when it comes mincha time or the like, because he was totally potel gamri when it came to doing the first tefillah outside the mitzvah. So there are poskim that hold that oisa mitzvah is a ptur gomor. Other poskim hold that oisa mitzvah is more like an oine. Since I'm involved in this, you don't make you a chroy in stopping and taking care of the other one instead, but it's like an oine. What could you do? I'm involved with this one. I can't do everything at once. So then, by the way, it is Pashtas the Taz's sheet over there in Kufches, where he says that a person who is involved in a mitzvah and doesn't daven is not potter and didn't have a head up to at all. It's more like an oinus, that's what he says. And maybe therefore later on you have to imagine the tefillah and come to the next tefillah because you weren't potter, you just had it been oinus. So Frekta Bachana like this is if you're going to name on that the Nehwa Gemara, the person's involved in a mitzvah, he's involved in taking care of the Aved or the like, he's potter from Pruta Debi Yosef because of Oysa Mitzvah, potter mitzvah. If the ptur from the mitzvah tzedakah is a ptur gomor, your mom is totally potter because of Oysa Mitzvah, and Oysa Mitzvah could totally potter you, then you're right, so that the lav will vanish as well, because the whole lav is a support the essay. Mashink, and if I learn that the ptur of Oysa Mitzvah is not a true ptur, you're not really potter, you really are mechuyev, be'etzem, you just, what can you do? You can't do everything, so therefore I'm involved in this mitzvah, I don't do the other. But if the essay is, I don't become actually potter, zokter, then the lav is not going to vanish either, because the essay didn't vanish, you're just not taking care of it. But the lav is going to be there, and therefore it's going to be tzorchi, and once again, how could the person ignore the loisa say of loisa amitz and loisik poitzot because he's involved in taking care of the aveda? The Bachanan suggests, therefore, that you could say a different teret to the Kasha, the Beis Yankov's Kasha, based upon a controversial Yesoi that's found in some Achroinim. This is actually a Primogonim Shita, that some Achroinim hold that when we say that a Oitzim Mitzvah is Potah and Mitzvah, and he's Potah from any Aseis that come up because he's involved in this Asei, doesn't have to do the other Asei, the Emes is, according to those Achroinim, be a Soidoi, theoretically, he'd be Potah from Lavin as well. You're Potah from everything. You're involved in the Mitzvah, you don't have to worry about Aseis or Lavin. The Yesoi, however, what they say is that you can't do an active lois say violation. I can't say I'm involved in the mitzvah, therefore I'll eat pork or I'll eat chazer or something. You can't do a kum ve'esedik lois say violation. That's for sure the instance will not allow an active lois say violation. However, what about a passive lois say violation? If I find a lois say that's violated passively by inaction, to that they say that actually lois mitzvah, according to some achrayim, the Prima Godim and others, that some achrayim learn that lois mitzvah is potter not only from being involved in assays, but also potter from worrying about loisa says where the violation is inaction. I could say, you know what? I'm going to be inactive. I'm going to be passive because right now I'm involved in this mitzvah say. If you learn like that, then it works out here because the loisa say of loisa ameitz, loisik poitz, don't withhold, don't clench your hand and refuse to give. Those are violated passively. The violation of those things if a person is passive and doesn't give the tzedakah, then you're passively violating the loisa says, and according to some achrayim, the oisim mitzvah would allow you to passively violate them because it's not an active violation like eating chazer or something. And of course, if you learn like that, zoktav b'chanan, that's another teret to the kasha. The person is oisik and aveda, and he's potter min a mitzvah, meaning he's potter from the assay and potter from the lois assay of giving stalker a lois amitz and lois sick poitz. Because as long as the violation of these assays, lois assay, and stalker are done by inaction, which is what's happening, you're totally potter from them all by dint of the fact that you're involved in the Aved. And this is the Prima Godin's Yesoid, is actually big machloik as Achroinim. Other Achroinim question it. The Sefer Beis Yitzchok, Shuvitz Beis Yitzchok writes, he's noted to say the other way, that it's an absolute din in all lois says, perhaps, that no matter what, the Oysa Mitzvah never ever allows you to violate any kind of a lois say. On Amud Beis, the Gemara brings down the Mishnah's case of Maver Chovas Himokon Lamokon Meshavra. The person is transporting a barrel for somebody else, and he stumbles, he's Niskal, he stumbles, and the barrel smashes, and there's different Shitas HaTanoim on this in the Mishnah and the Gemara. If Yehuda holds that a Niskal is Lav Pesheh, which means that a person who stumbles and falls and slips and smashes the barrel is not considered to be a Pesheh, whereas Remeir and the Breis, there are different Shitas over here, Remeir and the Breis holds that a Niskal is a Pesheh, and therefore even a Shemachinam is going to be liable for stumbling and falling. Over here we have a tremendous, huge machloikis between Tosis and the Ramban. Tosis over here and the Ramban over here. Huge, tremendous machloikis. A lot of discussion of it in the Poskim of the Achroinim, Rishonim Achroinim, Masechta Baba Kama. And the machloikis that they have is in terms of answering a very basic question in the sugya. The kasha that the Rishonim ask is, that we know from Masechta Bava Kamma that Odom Muad La'olam, which is to say that a person who is an Odom Hamazik, they have the Behema, Momen Hamazik, and Odom Hamazik. If a person's animal does damage, well, there's a lot of sugyas in Masechta Bava Kamma, different categories of damage. It depends where you're responsible in your Shmira over the animal. You weren't responsible. Different cases, you will or you won't be chayav to pay up. However, if the person himself does the damage, Odom, the Odom Hamazik, is Odom Muad La'olam. The person Ben Yoshein, the Oinus Shegig, etc. The Gemara says, regardless, Eir Ben Yoshein, in Baba Kama it says that Odom Hamazik is invariably chayav, regardless of whether he's an Oinus or not in terms of doing the damage. And that the Rishonim ask over here, Tosis and the Rishonim is, the L'chayr, this person who stumbled and fell in the barrel, got broke. So L'chayr, he is an Odom Hamazik. He personally caused the barrel to break. And therefore, consequently, he should be chayav even on Onsim. So what is this whole business of whether Niskel is a Peshay, and if your Niskel is not Peshay, you're going to be Potter? Why in the world should you Potter at all? The Chayra, at any rate, your Adam Hamazik, and therefore you should be Chayav even on Oinus. This is a very, very big Kasha. This is a very similar Kasha Tosfos and the Rishonim bring from a different Sugya of a Tabuch Umen Shekilka, which is to say a professional butcher. He shechted and he messed up the Shechita. But there also, the Gemara's Mavur is a Sugya, the Cheshman, the Sugya, but a Kaponim, it comes out over there that you're not going to be Chayav to pay out Adam Hamazik. But anyway, if we were considered to be an Oinus, we would not make you pay out Adam Hamazik. And why not? What happened to the Adam Hamazik that is Chayav even on Onsim? And here we have a very big Machloikas Rishonim. Tosfos Shita is that from these rayas we see that when Chazal say in Baba Kama that Odom Hamazik is chayv in onsim, it does not mean onsim. You're not chayv in onsim. In fact, you're potter in onsim. That lashon of oinus over there simply means even the things that are not a troop shear. And Tosfos holds that the demarcation line, the dividing line, in terms of up to what point, what madrega of oinus you're going to be liable, or the mamazik, is that which is dumid the aveda. Tosfos points out from the Gemara later on that a shemes sachar is chayav on gneva and an aveda. That's says the thing gets stolen from the shemes sachar, the paid watchman, or it gets lost by him, he chayav on that. Shemes chinam is potter on both, shemes sachar is chayav on both. And the Gemara says something over there later on, which is a very obvious point, is that gneva is pretty close to being an oinus. I mean, the ma'isi, you try to be careful, and a ganav came and the thief stole it. Mashen can Veda is pretty close to a pshia. You know, your mamas lost it. So it happens to be a Shemes Sachar is chayav on both, Shemes Chinam is chayav on both, but Tosfos says that Odom Hamazik is in between those. In other words, Odom Hamazik will be liable, and that's not the equivalent to the Madrega of Aveda, losing, that Odom Hamazik will be liable, but he's not going to be liable for the little bit higher Madrega of Oinus, which is equivalent to the level of Gneva. And therefore, Tosfos Shita over here is that when the Gemara says that a Niskel is not a pshia, a stumbling person is not a pshia, that means according to that man, the Omar, it's a higher madregas oinus, although obviously it's not an oinus gomer mamish, of course, you're the one who stumbled. Afal pikein, it's close to being a true oinus, it's on the madrega of Igneva, and therefore the Hamaz are going to be potter on that. And that's Tosfos Shita throughout, that Tosfos always holds based on these sugyas and this raya, that the other Hamazik is potter from oinus, true oinus, and even potter from the madrega of Igneva. The Ramban over here in the Chedushim and the Mechametz of Abakam as well, it's the same shtickle, and Ban argues strenuously with Tosfos, the Yagas and the Rayas, and the Ban Shita is that Adam Hamazik is Chayev, afilu on a Oines Gomor, even on a true Oines. Now, the Ramban says this, and the truth is the Shingon Bet says in Baba Kama B'Shem the Rivo, that says the same thing, and they both say the same Yesod, which needs an explanation to try to end for the Kashis and the Rayas that Tosfos brings from our Gemara and for the Gemara of Tabuch Omen Shekilkal. What do you do with the fact that those cases are Lachaira and other Hamazik, and yet, if you be a true Oines, you're going to be Potter on them? So, why are you Potter according to these Rishonim? So, they both say the same thing. The truth is that the Rivo makes it more clear, the man's a little less clear, but the reverse Yisrael in Mishina Ressa Baba Kama is that these people, the person who's trying to transport the barrel for you, or he's trying to shecht for you, these are not called the other Hamazik. Even if they, through their botched job, it ends up coming about a damage and a hazard to you, they're not defined as other Hamazik. Zok to Rivor, the language of the Shita, B'shein the Rivor, the Kivon, the Mishaskin Hain, L'toivas Hanizik, Lav Odom Hamazik, who, since they're preoccupation, their activity is to endeavor to assist the Nizik, to help them out. They're carrying a barrel for you, they're shechting for you. That's what their preoccupation is, that their activity is. So therefore, they're not called other Hamazik. They don't get that category, even if they botch the job, and afilu if they end up causing a harm or a damage to you, they're still not going to be called the label of other Hamazik to be chayvel to that category. The Ramban's Lashon is somewhat bekisser. The Ramban's Lashon is she'ein be'umon hatoye b'malachtoy mishamazik. That's Ramban, somewhat critical. cryptically. He's an omen, he's a professional, he's trying to work you, do work for you and help you out, and he's a toyev malachtoy that does not have a category of mazik. Very unclear, very cryptic yisoid, what these Rishonim are saying, the Ramban and the Riva. What is this yisoid all about? L'maisa, l'chayra, he maisa do the pa'ula, harmed you, it botched you, it messed you up, and why isn't he fall under the category of olam mazik according to the Rishonim? Rav Gustman, in the Kuntres Shiurim, says the following yisoid. Rav Gustman claims that there is a yisoid in Hilchas Nezokin. Even afilu, if I do a pa'ula and this ma'isa messes you up and it's bats the ma'isa and it causes a harm to you, I'm not in and of itself going to be chayef to pay you al tilchas nezokin unless the ma'isa gets labeled ogetaitched in halacha as a shem ma'isa hamazik, and the mensch gets ogetaitched as a shem mazik. The person gets ogetaitched as a shem mazik. Interestingly, Rav Gutzman brings a smach to this from a very rather sosendik and Meiri in Mesech de Baba Kama on Daf Beis. Interesting, the Meiri there, that the Meiri over there discusses why it says habo ovis nezikin instead of a lotion of nizokin. So there's a whole discussion there, the exact etymology and the words there. But the bottom line is that the Meiri claims that they were being merameis by using the word nezikin and not Nizokin, that Murames, that the liability that the mazik is chayav to pay is because he's a mazik. The lashon over there is because a mazik is entoyar al mishkol nazirim and neviim. To understand those words, you have to know a little diktuk. I'm not getting into it right now. The idea of a mishkol, but upon him, the idea of the meiri is that the concept of mazik is like a nazir, he says, or like a novi. In other words, it relabels the person. The person has a shem nazi. The person has a shem novi. The person has a shem mazik. And the Zokta of them, Rav Gustman, that the fact that I did a maisa which ended up causing you harm is insufficient to be mechayev. You need that I, as a person, should be labeled a mazik. The Zokta of them, it's in that nekuda, that element, that the aside of the Ramban and the Rivo comes in. What they are saying is, I'm being also klotoivoscha. My asik, my preoccupation is to do the thing in a constructive manner to benefit you. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to transport the barrel beneficial, to shech, in a beneficial manner. Even if I botch it in such manner that the maisa ends up causing a harm, it is a pa'ula that caused the harm, but it doesn't make the person relabeled as a shem mazik, nor does it touch the pa'ula as a maisa mazik. It's just a maisa which ended up causing harm to me, and if them nisht in them, zokter, is the Torah going to be mechayev a chiyuv for other hamazik? And that's the pshat, he says, in these rishayim, other mazik is chayev an onsim, but you have to be other hamazik. In a case where I'm doing something constructive for you, that's my preoccupation, you're not going to be ogetized as an other hamazik. Rav Gustman wants to say a sharifa mahalach based on these lines to answer a big kasha, the Machne Ephraim. The Machne Ephraim asks a kasha, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, a whole discussion over there about a person who's mazik is ishta b'tasha mita. So you Baba Kama, the Falamid Bey, the Shas, the Tasha mita, his baisa, his activities cause a hezek to his wife. Is he chayav? Is he potter? Do you say b'rishus kov and therefore you're potter, etc.? And the Gemara comes out l'maisa that you chayav because kivin to you ovid maisa, because he did a maisa and the maisa caused a harm to her. So therefore, that's a maisa which is actually chayav of other hamazik. That's just the effect of them, the Machne Ephraim, that l'choyra coined to Ramban the Rivo, Shita, why should he be chayev? By mazik ezish tasha mita, l'chayra, he's being oisik in a ma'is which is beneficial to her, that was his preoccupation. He was being oisik to l'hanoasa, and l'toivasa. He's being oisik in b'malu his shibur of tasha mita to her. So therefore, l'chayra, fract of them, the machne Ephraim. So what does the Gemara say, chayev? According to these Rishonim, it's beneficial on l'toivasa, l'hanoasa, and therefore, consequently, l'chayra, he ought to have been potter. And this is a big kash of the machne Ephraim. The machne Ephraim, although has no terror to this, except by saying b'kitzer, that he wants to say that the mensch has a din of a shemis sochor lagabi his wife, and therefore he's going to be liable for hilchos shmira on the wife, because since he's benefiting from the tashamita, so therefore that's considered to be like a schar, and therefore it's like a shemis sochor on the ishtoi, and that's the reason for his chiyuv. A very, very peladik of the truth is a peladik of Machne Ephraim to suggest that the chiyuv is al shmira. There's really a lot of kashas on this. Rav Gustman has several kashas on this Machne Ephraim, but just to pick one, and one kasha yes is that why is that called a shemis sochor b'chlal? L'chayra, she's meshuvah to him. That's part of the marital obligations, the shibud of isha labayla is the meshuvah tashamita. So why in the world should be called it a schar for the person of making
to Hashem as Sachar. But Bechlal, Rav Guzman has problems altogether with the whole notion that the person is a Shemer and his wife, which obviously is Bechlal, a Shver thing, and he says that he doesn't believe that that's going to be the derech to answer the Kasha. Rather, Rav Guzman wants to say a Yesoidius Dikateris to explain why we don't apply the Ramban and the Riva to Tasha Mitzvah. Rav Guzman endeavors to demonstrate al Pidakoi that there's a category called Odom the Azik Odom, which is the case by Tasha Mitzvah over there, a person being Mazik and Odom, which works with different rules, with different guidelines as an Odom that's Mazik a Chayfetz. So, and Rav Guzman therefore tries to suggest he wants a Mechadish, that the Ramban's Yesoid and the Riva's Yesoid to say that a person is not Chayef for Odom HaMazik when he was working to benefit the Ander, to benefit the Enim, only applies to Odom HaMazik when the Odom is Mazik a Chayfetz, like in the case in Al Gomorrah, and it doesn't apply to Odom the Azik Odom, like the case of Tasha Mitta, and therefore even over there you're coming to benefit her, Afal Pikein, as Odom the Azik Odom Yomichayev. Is Zot of Tem Rav Guzman, what the Hezber Advorim, so that he says a Sharif Azach based on his Derech. He says the whole Hezber in the Ramban and the Riva is that if I'm working to benefit you, I'm working to benefit you, so that I don't have a Shem Mazik, even if I end up that my pool ended up causing harm to you. I don't label the mensch as a Shem Mazik. Zot of them, that you saw that I'm not Chayev, unless I get a Shem Mazik personally, is not applicable to Odom the Azik Odom. Why? Zok there, because if you look how the Pasuk discusses Odom HaMazik, it writes it in two different Nuschois. By the case of the Odom Des Mazik HaBehemah, it says, Makei Nefesh Behemah Yishalmeno. That says the person is Oget HaShem a Makeh. He's a Makeh of the Nefesh Behemah. Mashein Kein Odom the Azik Odom, the Lashon is Ish Ki Yitein Mun Ba'amiso, etc., etc. Zok of them, very good. By the case of the being Mazik HaChifetz of the Andere, you have to be Oget HaShem a Makeh. You need to be relabeled as a mazik, a mensch who's a mazik. That's not going to happen if you're trying to benefit the person like the case in our Gemara or the other Gemara, and therefore you're trying to work and help him out and carry his thing, so therefore you're potter even if you end up causing a harm like the Ramban says. That's called, it says, umake nefesh behemah. You have to be ogatash as a maka. Ma she'en came by Odom the Azik Odom with Loshon the Pasuk is ish ki yitein mum ba'amisoi. It just calls him an ish. It happens to be he was yitein mum. So okay, Sokta Tem Rav Guzman, in a case like that, we don't have to relabel you as a mazik in order to mechayev, because Odom Mazik is more chomer and works with different, Odom the Azik Odom is more chomer, it works with different guidelines. Odom the Azik Odom suffices that I did a pula which ended up causing harm to you, even if it doesn't relabel me. And Emele, even though over here he's worried, Tasha Mitte, he's la toivosa, la hanosa, he's doing the Asik, Afa Pikain Zokte, Vibal, that through his maize ended up causing a harm to her, that's sufficient to mechayev by the case of Odom the Azik Odom.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.